This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds on 105.3 The Fan. So glad you can join us. We have a real good one today as we welcome to the program Dallas/Texas Stars forward, two-time Beanpot champion as part of the Northeastern Huskies. Just off his AHL All-Star appearance, the pride of Quebec, Canada. How's that for an intro, Justin Ritzkovian?
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Do you have any Nordique gear? I always wonder that about Quebec guys.
I do not. It's been a Montreal Canadiens fan since day one.
Oh, so. Really? Habitants, huh?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so are the boys getting together to watch the Four Nations final tonight?
Yeah. I think a bunch of guys are getting together. We've been talking about it the last week or so. So we're super pumped for this one. It'll be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if you know this. Jake Guentzel from the U.S. is wearing the USA sweater for the first time. And correct me if I'm wrong, you have not in any level worn that Maple Leaf sweater yet. Does that, when you watch these games, does that fire you up?
Yeah, for sure. I think obviously there's like a fan aspect to it still for me. And, you know, like obviously like it's a little weird. Like, you know, like I'm still a fan of all these guys playing in it, and it's awesome to watch and I want to enjoy it in that sense. But now I'm kind of at the age where, like, you know, there's guys my age or even younger in the tournament making impact. So it's definitely inspiring. I was like looking at a lot of the guys there, you know, playing a significant role for teams and stuff. And, you know, there's a chance to one day maybe do it. So obviously that's in the back of the head, just a little fuel for sure.
Yeah. What a season you've had in your first professional season, almost a point per game, 39 points, 41 games, first full year of pro hockey for you. We see a lot of players coming out of juniors, and you had the choice if you wanted to play in the Quebec Junior Hockey League, and you decided to come to the U.S. and then went to Northeastern. Is it safe to say that playing in Hockey East prepared you for the for your first full year?
Yeah, without a doubt. So glad I chose the college route and ended up in Northeastern, and it played out the way it did. I think it's probably the best league in college hockey. Just so much parity in the league, and there's so many guys who move on to the next level from there, and so many great programs with great coaching staffs and everything. And I felt very ready to go for the pro game for the last couple of years, honestly. After my time in college, you're just playing with some of the best, going up against the best, and you know, also just the time away from the rink in terms of playing less games, just spending time in the weight room and off the ice, being able to work on things too. So 100%.
How can I describe the Beanpot tournament for those that are not from the New England area or kind of passive hockey fans? We can explain that it's Harvard, Northeastern, Boston University, Boston College. Did you know about the Beanpot when you were growing up in Quebec? How much of a draw was that, and what drew you to Northeastern? Because there's a lot of schools that would have liked you.
Yeah, I vaguely knew about it growing up, but it's basically just tournament with those four Boston schools that's played at the Boston Garden. And, you know, it's four-team tournament, and it's just semifinal, final, and basically it gets sold out every time. And it's the best experience I've ever played in, an atmosphere I've ever played in my life, and memories I'll have forever. But yeah, I vaguely knew about it because former teammate kind of made the jump through Northeastern as well from my neck of the woods, and he was kind of living it. So I was able to, you know, watch it on TV and kind of hear about it, see it. And then they took us on our official visit there. And as soon as I saw that, I was kind of sold. I mean, just the student body, you know, the bands playing, and obviously all the locals from the Massachusetts area and the rivalry. It's just such a special tournament and event, and super glad I could play in three of them and win two. So 100%.
Was it Boston University or Boston College that you guys got? I mean, they're both great schools, but, you know, obviously Boston University had Celebrini. That must have been a fun matchup for you.
Yeah. Last year we ended up playing against Boston University in the finals. And yeah, exactly. They had Celebrini and Hudson, two guys who were up for the Calder this year in the NHL. Yeah. So it's pretty impressive players. And, you know, it was great, great game, obviously.
All right, let's talk about your season with the Texas Stars. It's been a tremendous run. It must have take us to the moment that you're having this great season with Texas, and next thing you know, how did it happen that you found out that you got the call, and what was the emotions? Because pretty amazing to come out of college, first pro season, and next thing you know, you're right into the NHL.
Yeah, no, it's been a crazy year, honestly. And I think joining the team last year in the springtime and just getting a taste and feel for it, like, helped me out so much over the summer and just getting into the training camp and early on in the year here. Kind of as soon as the season started, just kind of take the momentum created from training camp and kind of just build on that. And I thought I got off to a pretty good start playing with some good players, and I just started gaining more and more confidence, and things kind of just started spiraling, and snowball effect almost. And you never really know how close you are to getting called up or whatever, and I tried to kind of keep my mind off that. And you never know with injuries and everything, you know, how good the team is up in Dallas. So there's never really any expectations. It was just kind of get better every day. And I remember getting the call when our team, we were on a California trip, and I got the first call from Scott White, and he kind of let me know. And I had to fly in that day to Utah because there was a chance I might play, and I ended up not playing, but that was the first time I got the call. And the emotions were massive, obviously, for me and my family. Like, just, you know, so many years of just hard work and kind of unknown, obviously, not knowing what would be next and, you know, if there ever will be a chance. And obviously I'd had that belief, but you just never know, being undrafted and all that stuff. So it's just been a great ride. And then ever since, you know, getting that first call, you know, I kind of just used that as confidence and even more motivation too. And it's just been building from there.
You talk about being undrafted. You signed a 2-year contract with Dallas. What made Dallas a place that you wanted to be?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, the people that I was speaking to and working with, it was kind of first class, no nonsense in any of the conversations. And, I was speaking to them over 2 years of college. So, I thought about it after my sophomore year of college, and decided I want to go back and play with my brother and be the captain. So, but, their interest never wavered or anything. They stuck with me, and I was always pretty confident in the message and the opportunity they offered me. And and also just wanted to be a part of a winning organization and a team that's on the cusp, and being around that, being around those veterans, and being in the hunt every year. And that's kind of environment I want to be in. And obviously they've done a great job developing players as well. So I just thought it was the right fit.
Yeah, stick tap to you, by the way, going back and playing with your brother. I saw you guys played on the same line for a bit too, right?
Yeah, no, it was a blast. Like towards second half of the year, they put us together on the same line, and honestly, like our season individually and as a team kind of just skyrocketed since then. So some of the most fun I've ever had on playing hockey for sure.
Okay, it's kind of different than being with a teammate. Did like your brother and you obviously, you know, pass the puck a lot as kids growing up. Was the chemistry like how different than is as far as getting used to a teammate and then your brother on the same line?
Yeah, it is a little different. I think we both weren't really sure if it would ever work out, if we ever did play on a line. And, you know, we're 3 years apart, so we like the idea of us playing together was never really came across our heads. And he ended up kind of accelerating through the process through juniors, had a couple great seasons leading up to college, and was able to get to school a year early. And you know, just the chance to play together was something we couldn't turn down. And then kind of as soon as he got put on my line, honestly, there was not much conversation or anything. You know, we don't really have to speak to each other too much about hockey in terms of X's and O's and where to be and what to expect. You know, I felt like he had a good feel for the type of player I am, and I had a good feel for him, obviously. And kind of a little different in some ways, but similar too. And obviously, I think the one thing that we can connect on is just like the motivation aspect and just making sure we're ready to go and you know, bringing the juice every night. And I thought we did that.
Well, you certainly bring the juice, and you brought it for the Dallas Stars. Fair to say that you like the scrappy game. You like to, you know, be physical.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a huge part of hockey, especially if you watch. I mean, you can see it in this tournament right now that's going on, and obviously in the playoffs too. And I think every team could benefit from guys who are willing to do that stuff. And I think just being able to impact the game in as many ways as you can goes a long way.
I wanted to ask you because one of the guys that I mentioned a lot as far as development within the system is Curtis McKenzie. Had opportunities to play in Europe, play elsewhere, has always stuck with the Texas Stars, played with Dallas for a bit, kind of a staple now in Texas. Tell me your thoughts on what Curtis McKenzie means.
Yeah, he means so much to our group. We're so lucky to have him. He's a great mentor in terms of just hockey and even life away from the rink, in terms of just raising a young family and everything. And you know, but he's also a good friend. You know, he's a very relatable person and goes out of his way to make sure I felt comfortable when I got here at the end of the season last year. And then this year, our relationship's grown even more. And you know, just seeing how he kind of goes about his work every day and the experiences he's lived. And you know, there's not a selfish bone in his body when it comes to the team. And you know, he wants the best for everybody there. And he does a great job kind of helping guys move along. And grateful to have him by my side. And now we've been playing on the same line the last little bit, and it's been a lot of fun. So he's a really good player, obviously, to say the least.
He's got some pretty good wheels playing with you, and then last year he was on a line for a while with Bork and Stankoven.
Yeah, he does an unreal job. Just, I mean, I saw him last year playing with Borky, and when I got there, and he did a great job playing with him. Obviously, super smart and creates so much space for the players around him, and really good at the net front, obviously. And he's a big guy too, so it's a physical presence out there, and he's a great player to play with.
Okay, you mentioned Borky. Would your nickname on the team then be Ritz or Ritzy?
Yeah, I'm Ritzy or Ritz. Yeah,
Okay. All right,
something like.
so help me out. My last name is Spittle, and you know, do this all the time. I'm going to allow Justin Ritzkovian to nickname me on this program. Would it be
Right,
Spitzy?
yeah, I'd probably give you Spitzy,
All right,
Spitzy.
Spitz. Okay. All right. We'll go with that. Because I'm kind of a grinder too, so I, you know, I need that grinder name.
Yeah, I love that.
All right. Not only did you have a good season, Liam Bischel, need to talk about him. Now up with the Dallas Stars, big, must be fun to practice against him. What was it like playing with Big Bish?
Yeah, I mean, he's a freak, freak of nature, honestly. I mean, for a guy that young to be, you know, as good as he is on the ice and mature off the ice as well. you can tell that he's got a bright future ahead of him. And you can see the impact he's already making with Dallas, and obviously helped our team out so much here in Texas. So, yeah, he's a great guy. We got along really well. And, you know, I think he's just getting started too, which is the crazy part. He's got so much potential. And even right now, he's a very effective player. So I can't wait to see the player he becomes. And obviously cheering him on from a little ways away.
So you come up to Dallas, you got a point up in Dallas, and now you're back down. What do you think you need to work on to come back up to Dallas and stay with the club?
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think honestly, just a little bit of everything. I think being able to just impact the game in as many ways as you can, and also be able to play multiple positions, being able to play center, being able to play wings, being reliable, 200 foot, and also being able to create offense when you can. And I think just it's all comes with time, and it's all part of the process, and just learning the game, learning the style, and obviously growing your confidence. I think so much of the game is mental, and the more reps I get, the more time around these guys, and the better I'll feel about myself. So I think it's just it's a matter of time, but I'm not trying to take any shortcuts in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of boys on your team that have had NHL experience. Do they talk to you about, you know, going up and staying up? Because, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you're a young guy, but you have some veterans on your Texas Stars team that have been up for a while and are now down in Texas as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think guys are pretty open about it. I think at the end of the day, every person here in Texas wants to play in NHL, or wanted to at some point, or played in it or want, is trying to get there. So I think it's something that's pretty well versed around the locker room, and obviously everybody's is staying in the moment and trying to help the Texas Stars win as many games as possible, but we're also trying to develop individually and trying to, you know, be the best players we could be and hopefully be NHLers. And I think everyone from the staff, management, and the players are all on board with that. And obviously winning helps develop players more than anything. So I think the more we can do that together, the better chance we'll get at the next level. But I think a lot of it's just kind of like I said before, a lot of it's more mental and just having the confidence in your game, and you know how to play. And that's kind of a lot of the message that's been put on me from some of the older guys and even the coaches, and just having that confidence and belief in your game and what's got you there, and not trying to switch it up when you go up.
You also got a lot of work in preseason. Safe to say, you mentioned Maverick Bork. Was he your running mate in preseason as far as hanging out? And when you came up, he, you know, helped you out? Or are there anyone else on the team that you got to know?
Yeah, I'd say Borky for sure was looking after me in my first training camp and everything. When I got to Texas here last year, we were roommates on the road for the rest of the year. And we had a little connection, obviously, being from yep. Montreal. So definitely helped. And, you know, we get along really well. And every time we've gotten called up, he's always there for me and stuff. But, you know, as the more and more I've gone up, the more guys I've met. And they got obviously a great group of guys, good mix of older and younger guys who make it easy for me.
I'm Google searching French restaurants in the Cedar Park area, but I don't see many.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably tough to come by.
How is the French? Are you keeping up with it? Because I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Are you the only French speaking person on the Texas Stars?
We actually have a couple guys. Remy Poirier, or one of the goalies. Yep. Kyle McDonald can speak French. So I think I know those two for sure. And I think a couple guys closer to the Ontario grew up speaking a little bit of French in school at least. So, I don't know. My French is slowly fading away, unfortunately. So I try to speak it when I can with some of those guys and try and just make sure it's does the job.
Yeah, that said, chirping in English or do you do it in French?
I keep it in English.
Okay. How is your chirping game?
I don't know. I wouldn't say it's great. I mean, it kind of depends on the situation and stuff. I try and stay as even keeled as I can throughout the games, but just like anybody, there's obviously going to be boiling points and stuff, but we got a good amount of guys down here that kind of carry the weight in that department for us.
Yeah, I was also going to ask because several of your Northeastern teammates are currently in the AHL or people that you came up with. Who do you keep in touch with from coming through the ranks?
Yeah, I think probably my best friend from back home is Devin Levi. Yep. We were roommates in college for a couple of years, and you know, we played together all through minor hockey as well, so we stay in touch, and obviously we help each other navigate the journey together. And we actually saw each other at the All-Star game a couple weeks ago, and that was super cool. And just being able to share our experiences and also just appreciate the journey we're on together. And obviously it's awesome watching and seeing what he's doing in this league and also in the NHL, and we're obviously rooting for each other.
I guess when you play at different levels and now you're getting some games under your belt, they use the term slowing down. I guess, is your development, are you finding yourself like now seeing more that you didn't originally? Because I imagine when you came up to Dallas, it was so fast and, you know, it's just a different level of speed. And I'm sure the next time you go up, you'll find it more natural.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's kind of, that's natural for any player. At least for me, I'd say in any step along the way, like when I was playing junior hockey and then I had to make the jump to college, it felt like it was so fast. And then when I made the jump from college to the AHL last year, it was like so fast. And it just takes time for you to adjust to your surroundings and just the pace of play and how the game's being played. And I think kind of, I mentioned it again, I think confidence is a huge part of that. And I think the more games I play, the better I'll feel about that. And the game will slow down. And I feel like I've kind of getting to that point here in Texas where, I feel like, I'm seeing everything I need to see. And I just feel a lot more comfortable on the ice and, feel like I can make all the reads and, can see what I want to see in at the end of the day. And I don't feel rushed out there. And I felt like in Dallas, every game I felt like it got better and it was slowing down for me. But, you know, obviously, just one day, one step at a time.
Plus you have the Calder Cup playoffs coming up, and a lot of players say that the Calder Cup playoffs really gave them a lot of experience as far as, you know, experience going into the next level. That's going to be, I mean, you guys are fighting for playoff spots right now. It's a real good race.
Yeah, no doubt. Our division is really strong and very competitive from top to bottom. So big stretch of games coming up here. And obviously, yeah, like you said, like winning a Calder Cup and going on a Calder Cup playoff run, it can do so much for individuals and team, obviously the team aspect and being able to bring a trophy home, but individuals could kind of give them a boost in terms of just a lot of development. You've seen a lot of played in big games, you know, played tough matchups and just unreal experiences to have under your belt. So I think that's something that our group's itching for and hope and working for.
All right, two more for you. Fun ones. Quebec, Boston, now to Texas. So we'll go poutine, clam chowder or fried clams, or Texas barbecue.
Honestly, I'll probably have to go Texas barbecue out of those three.
I like that. I like that. Welcome. You're a Texan now, my man.
Exactly. All right.
And I always ask people, best barn you've ever played in?
Good question. I'd say maybe Maine in college.
Ooh, I think that was good one. I've never heard that, one. That's a good one.
Yeah, it was awesome. They especially last season they had one of their best years in a long time, and it was a sold out barn, and it's tight, low ceilings, and it gets super loud in there, and really hostile environment. I think their record at home is like something ridiculous. So it was good. It was obviously a lot of fun to play there, and I think it made it a little better that we were able to get a win out of there too. So
I grew up around Merrimack College, so I've been in that barn a bunch. That's an old barn.
Oh, yeah.
Need some renovations.
Yeah.
All right, let me see if I get this right. Les bons est roulé, my friend.
Okay, merci beaucoup.
Yes, absolutely. Justin Ritzkovian, can't wait to see you back up in Dallas soon. Thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle. Until next time, have a great day, everyone.